You are Locked On Pacers, your daily Indiana Pacers podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
Happy Wednesday, everybody, and welcome in to another edition of the Locked On Pacers podcast, where we, of course, talk about the Indiana Pacers as always. My name's Tony East. I cover the team for Forbes and the West Side Community News. And today, I just have to groan because this podcast has become less about talking about the Pacers and more about Googling injuries and talking about injuries and how the rotation changes. And why did we even do a podcast breaking down the Pacers' healthy rotation when now one-fifth of the players we talked about that day are injured? We're talking about injuries. Caris LeVert has a back injury. We'll hold him out for an undisclosed amount of time that will probably be determined in the next couple of days. Here to break that all down with me, former Indy Corners writer extraordinaire, co-host of this podcast, Adam Friedman. Adam, how are you? How is your back? You know, does the Pacer injury curse extend to the microphones in front of us?
It does not. I have a solid back as of 11 p.m. Eastern time on Tuesday night. We'll see how it happens when I wake up. That seems to be the problem. I guess our joking about Jeremy Lamb is going to end up true at some point. I mean, the way guys are falling, he'll end up being the leading scorer for the first month of the season.
I texted Adam after Sumner got hurt. I said, wow, if they keep going down like this, Jeremy Lamb's going to be starting soon. And, you know, I was kind of joking because there was a lot of chatter about Lamb trades at the time. And now that's becoming more logical by the day. And we'll talk about Jeremy Lamb quite often on this podcast today. But let's just go right to the injury. First, broken by Adrian Wojnarowski of ESPN this morning. And, you know, it's been confirmed by LeVert and Rick Carlisle specifically. So the reason I go to Woj first is because Woj's tweet said it was a stress fracture in his back. That was like the official injury diagnosis. Whereas the Pacers, you know, when they did their pressers today after practice, wouldn't put a specific title on what the injury is just because they're getting a second opinion. LeVert, either yesterday or today, is getting a second opinion from another doctor so they can get their official determination, figure out the next steps, and get him ready to go. So per Woj, as of now, we'll go with stress fracture. Could be something different, maybe a bruise of some kind. I don't know how any of that works. He got a CT scan, so I'm guessing that the current diagnosis is close to correct, but not a super serious thing. I could see him with my own two eyes at practice, you know, shooting and on workout machines and moving around. And he even said that some days it hurts and some days it doesn't. So it just keeps coming for the Pacers, Adam. But thankfully, this one's not as bad as the other two we've gotten.
Yeah, I think it's a scarier sounding injury almost, right? Because it involves the back, which is always like a weird, you know, you never know with that, like if that could last forever, or it could go away, what you need for that. And then, I mean, stress fracture is not that scary, but like it just a fracture in the back is seems concerning, but it hopefully it doesn't seem too major. I mean, it seems like most stress fractures I've had one in my foot for a while. They come and go in pain. So I'm guessing, you know, as long as he's able to like kind of rest it for a couple of weeks, and then when it gets bad, ice it, whatever he needs to do, massage or whatever the whole regimen is, he'll probably end up being at least okay to go for part of the season.
Yeah. And, you know, I think Pacers fans are desensitized to the word stress fracture because of TJ Warren's foot, right? That was a stress fracture that he had to play through. And then we all know where that ended up now. So it's a lot of pain management. You're right. You know, and that's why the time Rick Carlisle even said, they're hopeful, right? This is not an official timeline, but they're hopeful. It's just 2 to 3 weeks. If you're listening on Wednesday, the 29th, you'll never guess how far away the season starts from that day, Adam, exactly 3 weeks. So he will probably miss all of preseason and training camp, but could be back. If it's 2 weeks, maybe he can play in their last preseason game to get up to some speed, but you know, he could be back by the start of the regular season. So again, good-ish timeline. Maybe he misses a little more than that and misses the start of the season. Okay, but at least this isn't a Sumner season thing or a Warren, who knows how long that'll be thing. And it sounds a little better. And again, I could see him, no braces, no nothing. He was able to talk to media. He was able to get his shots up. So it seems like this one is at least a minor injury as opposed to what we've been getting from the Pacers a lot recently.
Yeah, it's probably the thing where it just has to heal. I mean, that's it. And it's, do you wear a brace for when you have a back injury? I thought you just like kind of just sit.
Sometimes brace is the wrong word, but sometimes it's those, It's kind of like an inverse fanny pack that has like the heating and cooling element on the back.
Oh yeah, yeah, like a support thing.
Yeah, I don't know what to. I don't know what the perfect word is.
We're not doctors, so we just have to speculate about what that's called. Yeah, I think the biggest thing is this is probably something that will not go away immediately, right? Like a stress fracture is something that lingers. It, like you were saying with its pain management, I wonder just like, right, if he's able to go the first week, will he miss games here or there? Will he miss some back-to-backs? Like when is it going to become an issue? Because I mean, that could affect his overall season, right? If he only plays like 60 games, this kind of flares up constantly. That's something just to watch in his minutes load and stuff like that.
Certainly something to monitor with him, but he even mentioned that it was kind of on and off pain, and he was able to do like full 5-on-5 activities even with it this offseason. I don't know what kind of time he sat out or if any for the injuries this offseason, but at least it seems like potentially if he just gets in enough rest to get it all, and we get the bones in the right place or however this works, I'm pretty sure it's a bone stress thing, that he could be, you know, at least mostly pain-free throughout the season and not a recurring thing. But stress fractures are always finicky, especially sometimes if it's your foot, that just means you could have been like walking wrong your whole life. The back's a little different, but you know.
Oh, actually, I mean, right. You'd be walking wrong. You land wrong.
But back, we don't have the word chronic stress fracture in there, thankfully. So again,
just yeah, but I mean, like a back is just actually, it's like, as much you put as much strain and stress as you a foot, right? I mean, I know, like constantly walking, right? And the same with your back, really using your back pretty much in most activities. It's not like, I think like when you think like a hand or some kind of like arm, like a cast to sling, whatever it is. But like with anything that involves like either your back, your foot, or like your like most used muscles, it's pretty rough. Legs too, anything in that area is rough. Just try to heal quickly.
Right. So we will see, and maybe we'll get something more official from the team in the next day or two once he gets the second opinion with a more concrete timeline at that time. But ideally, you know, if it's at most 3 weeks, I would surmise that at 3 weeks, he could come back and play pretty quickly. But there's a chance that he misses like 5 games or something. If it's longer than 3 weeks, I have no idea. That would require updated prognosis from the second opinion. But as of now, it looks like right at the beginning of the season, it's running really close. So obviously not the news you want from the first day of training camp, but that is life for the Pacers. And, you know, at first I thought, Adam, I was a little concerned because we talked about this yesterday where the believability of a new coach's words matters a lot to me. And Carlisle said yesterday at media day that he's going to have 18 guys on day one of camp. He only had 17. But it turns out that scan LeVert had actually happened on Monday, on media day. So they didn't know about it until Monday. They, you know, maybe they knew he had some of the pain, but they didn't do the scans yet. So that's why they're getting this information out right now, or this information got out right now.
Yeah. I mean, I think if they knew, they would have announced it, right? It's not like something where they're just like hiding it. I imagine that.
Yeah, I agree.
He had pain one day and this comes something and they don't know what it is, right? Even if he says he has some pain, I don't think they're going to report that right away because you don't know. It might just be like you said, a bruise or something like that, right? That you just, you know, you don't report every bruise as an injured in the media. So I don't think it's that big of a deal that Carlisle wasn't like didn't know better. They didn't report it. I mean, I don't think they're like hiding it. I think that the problem we'll run into is like these injuries, they start off sounding small, but we've seen a couple things that kind of kept escalating into worse and worse, right? I think Vic's knee is a good example of that going back. Obviously Warren last year, like I'm just concerned that maybe like his initial diagnosis is like semi-right, but it just kind of keeps getting worse. And that's when that's when he misses, you know, 6 months with just have some surgery or has to do whatever, right? That's what concerns me most about the information is that it feels like it's so early. We don't really know if it's just a stress fracture or something worse.
I trust multiple doctors' opinions that they'll get it right, but I don't know how injuries play into longer-term injuries. So I definitely agree with that second part there. LeVert himself said, not anything severe, but obviously something to be cautious about. And then they talked about his year, and every time Caris LeVert gets injured, I'm just like, this guy's 2021 has just been insane. Like, just the most ridiculous human year possible. I know he's a pro basketball player making millions of dollars, but human element here to get traded while napping to a new team. You get an MRI. Turns out you have cancer. You got to recover from that surgery. You have to recover to play. Then you're out for the playoffs or play-in, whatever you want to call it, when that comes around because of COVID protocols. Right when you're back ready to go, you're excited to be in shape, getting chemistry with your new team, with a new coach. This back issue pops up. I mean, this guy's year has just been insane.
Yeah. I mean, I think the thing about being an athlete, though, is you usually manage injuries all the time. I don't think anybody ever goes up, you know, especially when you play a contact sport, right? And you always have injuries. So this, at least this one isn't seem like it's like a bone is broken, which is always, that's when things are really rough.
Yeah, we'll see when LeVert can come back and we'll update on the show when that can be. But let's pivot. What do the Pacers do now? Thankfully, we got a little info out of Carlisle on that today, which I was glad he was, you know, a little transparent on lineups, and he actually started it pretty funny. So let's talk about that and what the Pacers do next and who could benefit from this and all that. But first, let's talk about two great groups of people. The first one, the awesome people over at Sweatblock, because Sweatblock is making sweat blocking products that are simply the best out there. There are a few things in life that aren't fun to talk about, and one of them is excessive sweating, something that I am all too familiar with. You know, when I always talk about my State Fair experience, but just in general, I'm a big perspirer. It happened to me at the gym a lot last week. It goes through my shirt. It's ruined. I can't wear it again until the next laundry cycle, which for me is like a month-long cycle at this point. So sweating is a big pain. That's why I use Sweatblock. Sweatblock is a stronger and more effective than most clinical antiperspirants. You simply apply it at night before bedtime. Go to bed next morning. You wake up, wash, go about your day. You don't got to worry about sweat at all. Guarantee it. I know this sounds too good to be true, but I use Sweatblock like once, twice a week, the deodorant, and it keeps me dry throughout the whole week. No more pitting out, no more picking my shirts based on which ones will hide the sweat better, or just simply wearing a tank top instead to not deal with it. If you or someone you love is dealing with this, you have to check out Sweatblock. Get it today for 20% off at sweatblock.com with the promo code LOCKEDON, all one word. You can also get it at Amazon at CVS, but no discount unless you go to sweatblock.com and use that promo code LOCKEDON for 20% off. Go check them out. And of course, we're talking about one of our favorite groups of people, the good folks over at rockauto.com, because they can help you save time and money. There's so many makes and models out there that it's so hard for whatever auto parts store you go to carry the parts that you need or to carry the specs that you need when you're upgrading. You have a computer, you've got a phone, you can access rockauto.com at home or right in your pocket and save time and money. Instead of spending more time at that local chain store, you can save both time and money at rockauto.com, a family business serving do-it-yourselfers for over 20 years. They have everything you could need, brake parts, tail lamps, motor oil, even new carpet, you name it. They've got it. Their prices are always reliably low for every customer. Go explore their easy-to-use website today to find the solution to your auto part needs. Go to rockauto.com right now. See all the parts available for your car or truck right locked on in their How Did You Hear About Us box. So they know that we sent you amazing selection, reliably low prices, all the parts your car will ever need at rockauto.com. Okay, who is benefiting? If TJ Warren was still playing, this would be a totally different discussion. Who starts instead? The answer could still have been Justin Holiday, but TJ Warren is also hurt. So this discussion of where LeVert's injury could change things is very interesting. And first of all, like we mentioned in the first segment, he could not miss any regular season time. And then the change in the rotation doesn't really matter, but we will still see the Pacers for four preseason games. And we have to know what to watch for in those games, what the rotation could be, who could benefit from this in those instances or in camp. So Rick Carlisle was asked this straight up at practice, and he was kind enough to say, it's not a state secret who's on our team. So he wasn't hiding that he's going to talk about who benefited a little bit at practice today. And he said, without Warren and without Caris LeVert, the fill-in starters today in the first practice with Brogdon, Sabonis, and Turner were Justin Holiday and Jeremy Lamb. So we both talked about Justin Holiday and why he could be a fit for TJ Warren's spot on the injury, but with LeVert being out, wasn't really sure there. Duarte could have made some sense, maybe move McConnell in, move a player up, but they went with Brogdon and then Jeremy Lamb starting because, you know, Rick Carlisle even lauded that Lamb has started in this league before, and so they put him in the first group today to see how that's going to go. I'm sure we'll get more info on Lamb's camp earlier. But Adam, first thoughts on if that's the Pacers' preseason starting five. How you feel about that?
Lamb certainly has an opportunity to work his way back into a rotation in the league, right? I think he was on the outside looking in last year. I think we thought this year he'd be on the outside looking in still, unless they like needed to play him for a trade. But now he's got an opportunity to prove himself that last year was just a blip, a recovery year for him, and now he can finally, you know, go back to being, I mean, what was supposed to be the Pacers' sixth man when he signed originally.
Yeah, this is a big year for rehabbing his value because, like, we've been talking about trades for him for forever because...
And contract year, man.
Contract year for him. Yeah, he's got a lot to prove, especially coming off an injury. If he wants to make another big money deal, if he can shoot 40% from three again on the wing, he could make big money again. So the thing with Lamb is, right, the talk of trades for him, and I still think it makes some sense for them to move him because... of his salary just in general. But the biggest allure or appeal to trading him was he made $10.5 million, and he might not even have been in the rotation. But now they have three wings on the shelf for the next 3 weeks. So not only does he go from out of the rotation to in it, he might be a starter. So all of a sudden, that line of thinking of there's no role for him is gone, right? So that makes the, you pull back a little on the aggressiveness of trading him, and all of a sudden you go, okay, let's see what we have with this guy, right? We did start him for 40-something games his first year with the Pacers. I should know that number, 42. With Vic out, he played pretty well. In those games, he was much better that year than last year with the team, that's for sure. Obviously, the ACL tear was a big factor there, so you don't really know what you're getting with him yet this coming season. But you know, the calculus of how you think about Jeremy Lamb has changed a little bit. Who knows how long he'll last with his current role, again, because LeVert will come back eventually. But is this the right choice is a different question, because we talked about Duarte maybe starting for Warren. And I was always saying it should be Justin Holiday, but Duarte also could have had a shot to be the starter. With LeVert out, he doesn't get either spot. I would have gone with the vets myself, but you know, would you have gone with Duarte over either of those guys?
It's still early. I think you start with Lamb, but Duarte certainly still has a chance too to prove himself for one of those spots. I mean, I think no matter what, you're going to get a healthy dose of Duarte, Lamb, Holiday minutes wise, right? The three of them are going to have to make up the extra minutes, and one of them probably wasn't going to play when the season started anyway. So whatever you want to call it between, that's like you have to find 96 minutes between the three of them for some spots, and I guess. When you go, I guess, who are they going to sort of play at the, like the backup small forward?
Then, Craig, right? Definitely Torrey Craig.
Right. So Craig. Right now. Be the, yeah. I mean, that yeah.
They could, Justin, I guess they could Duarte, find a way and Lamb are the three locked in. I would think Torrey Craig is the most likely, at least.
Yeah. Unless they figure a way to stagger it so that Holiday can play all the extra minutes, right? They could do that.
I mean, why do that instead of Craig, you know?
I don't see a reason. I don't think you want to play Duarte 30 minutes his first season.
Right.
His first 10 games or something like that, or even if it's just five, right? I mean, I think Lamb can handle 30 minutes, so can Holiday, but you probably want Duarte to play some more like 15 or 20. So Torrey is in that scenario gets at least 10 minutes. But yeah, I mean, I think, I don't know if in this preparation I would have gone with Duarte, but he certainly, I don't think it's like a set in stone Lamb is the starter. You know, he's going to, every time I think Duarte proves himself, you know, he's better than Lamb, they'll make the move quickly.
I would have thought about McConnell myself with LeVert on the shelf, just because of you're actually losing a lot of ball handling now. But I understand going like Lamb can dribble and get his own shot. So that's
yeah, they could also stagger in a way where they play McConnell like 40 minutes that like to do sometimes or used to do, right?
40 minutes.
Well, they have like when people are really injured, McConnell plays a lot of minutes, right? He played like 38 plus when there was like a bunch of injuries. So this is kind of the scenario where McConnell steps in because he's that kind of player, can play that many minutes like occasionally.
Yeah, so there will be a lot of beneficiaries if LeVert misses any regular season time. But again, looks like we're going to see Lamb and Holiday at least first. Carlisle said he's not married to anything. So, you know, the two guys who are now currently with LeVert and Warren out, the backup 2-3, Duarte and Craig, they're brand new to the Pacers, right? So if they impress in camp or in preseason, they could become quick starters. Nothing is set in stone. Obviously, that's what every coach is going to say. But it seems like Lamb and Holiday are the leaders in the clubhouse to now start in LeVert's absence for however long it happens to be. And if any of them gets hurt, all of a sudden, Keelan Martin's going to be playing more. Torrey Craig, who they just signed, might have to play a little more. Maybe try to figure out getting O'Shea in at the three or something.
Yeah, I mean, I think we could see some wonky lineup where it's like McConnell, like closing games could be McConnell, Brogdon, Holiday, like in the two centers, right? They could just do some of that. Just also just put Tim Barnett at the two spot to get some minutes there.
Yeah, a lot of changes. So you know,
best five players.
Basically, anyone who could have played 1 through 3 could benefit from this if he misses any regular season time, but definitely will have a chance to be, you know, more involved in rotation activities and training camp. So yeah, for Lamb, especially a guy who's trying to rehab his own value, I think that he will, you know, he's got a really big opportunity here to step up. And if he can, especially on defense, if he can get back to the guy that he was not good 2 years ago with under McMillan, but he was like at least passable. He still had a bunch of reach in problems and sliding feet issues, but he wasn't just totally lost like he was last year. He can get back to like somewhat capable and shoot as well as he did last year. All of a sudden it's like, okay, this guy could be in the rotation safely. And that would be huge for him and the team, but you know, he's got to prove it first.
Yeah. I think we skipped over this and skimmed it a little bit, but like, do you think this is going to affect LeVert? Like we know we talked about, right? He finally got a full offseason with the team, hoping to get a full training camp. Like I know he has some pretty good chemistry with some of the players already because he played 30 some games last year with them. Is this going to actually, you think this is actually going to hurt him like chemistry wise when the season starts? Like he's going to come in a little bit not as good a shape, not as like crisp, I guess, as you would hope if he had played the full training camp.
I think he'll be in shape because he said he can do conditioning stuff at practice.
Okay.
The crispness though, that's certainly a thing, right? Like that's a thing.
But most teams are kind of the first two.
That's true.
4 weeks are always kind of off anyways.
It is a good time to not have crispiness, but that was going to be kind of an advantage for them. Remember they started really good last year because they had a lot of continuity and stuff too.
They were there for like five games, right?
Then they were 8-3. Remember?
Yeah, you're right. No, the first 12. You're right.
Until they were like second in the East, like mid January, and then it all fell apart. But so that continuity could have been an advantage for them, big season or early season, excuse me. While all these new teams kind of feel it out now, they might not have as much of that with him out. That's certainly something there with the crispness. I like your phrase there, so I'm gonna keep using it as you said. But yeah, it just kind of depends how long he's out for. Like maybe they get the second opinion and the doctor's like, yeah, just rest for 2 weeks, ice it every day, and then you'll be fine. And then October 10th, he's in camp again and he can play in their last preseason game. And then we really overblew the severity of this. But there's a lot on to consider with this, especially because to me, the biggest reason it's a big topic is because Warren and Sumner are already also out.
Yeah, I just think it's with a stress fracture, it's just ominous signs of the fact that this close to the regular season, it came out through Woj, which means it's kind of a big deal, right? Like there are certain injuries that just aren't a big enough deal to get it to Woj or Shams, I guess. So I mean, it feels concerning. I mean, I'm not sure he's gonna miss like months and months, but like it seems like 2 to 3 weeks is like a really hopeful time when it recovers, and so that's why I'd be planning for him to at least miss a couple games. Let's say.
I don't know any back stress fractures that have happened in the NBA before to give a good timeline. And if I Google the injury, I just get Caris LeVert's injury. I remember Joel Embiid had a back stress fracture in college, but he's had every injury under the sun, so it's impossible to identify.
Yeah, when you're that big too, he's like a whole nother level. Like when you're that tall and big, all kinds of injuries, backs, knees, feet.
So Sabonis dealt with back pain in the past. I wonder what his back injury was. Or specifically.
Well, and I wonder what defines it between like a stress fracture or like a strain or like a bad bruise, right? Like is something actually fractured in the vertebrae, or is it just like, I don't know, too much just like overall like use of it that it just hurts all the time?
Yeah, so Sabonis had that back soreness in April last year. He missed like seven games, eight games. I don't remember exactly how much. That's when Amita Brima and O'Shea were playing center. So hopefully not too long for LeVert.
2 weeks, right? 7 games, 2 weeks, right? That's about many games.
I'll get that time. I'm not equating their injuries. I have no idea if they're the same one. I'm just
soreness sounds better.
Back injury for a timeline here. Yes, he missed 6 games that span from April 19th through the 29th. So about 12 days from game to game.
Yeah.
So we will see what comes from LeVert. I think the second opinion is the key linchpin before we can get anything here. But again, the big thing to me is it plays in with a lot of other injuries. So let's talk about that. But first, we got to talk about two other great groups of people. First up, the good folks over at Built Bar. They have so many delicious flavors. And what is Built Bar? They're the best tasting protein bars ever. 100% covered in chocolate, soft, easy to chew protein bars that actually taste good. A lot of protein bar brands, they don't taste very good. Built Bar is changing that. They're absolutely delicious. When you talk to a Built Bar fan like me, they're passionate about their favorites. The new cookie dough one is amazing. Peanut butter brownie is amazing. Double chocolate is amazing. You got to try them. They have a mixed package with 9 of their most popular flavors you can get at any time. You can get 2 of each of those 9 flavors in that mixed box. And not only are Built Bar really good, they're also really healthy, right? You can use them as a snack or a meal substitute because they have 17 to 18 grams of protein, 130 to 180 calories, only 4 to 5 grams of sugar, only 4 to 5 grams of net carbs. Amazing flavors, all tasty, all healthy, and the official protein bar of the U.S. track and field team. Go to built.com, use the promo code LOCKED15, and you'll get 15% off your order. That promo code again, LOCKED15 for 15% off at built.com. Several listeners have loved Built Bar. You got to try them out yourself. And let's also talk about the great folks over at betonline.ag. They are back and better than ever. Revamped website and all eyes on football as teams are back in the swing of things, college football, NFL, whatever it is you like, BetOnline is your number one spot for all the football action this season. They've got an updated site interface, even more odds, props, and contests. They're the number one source for everything football. Head to that website on your mobile device, on your computer, whatever you use. Sign up today and play in their new NFL games that they have on there, football, basketball, boxing. You can get in on preseason games for NBA are in like 9 days. So there's a lot of that coming up there. So Vegas casino games on there. Don't wait to take advantage of all the amazing offers for the 2021 season. The fastest and easiest way to bet on all your favorite sports, betonline.ag. And if you sign up with the promo code Locked On, you can get a 100% welcome bonus with that promo code Locked On. Betonline.ag, your online sportsbook experts. Okay, injuries keep mounting. There's only so much angles we can take for the LeVert thing, especially without knowing the timeline. But go ahead.
I was going to say, I mean, I think the most disappointing thing about this injury is that Edmund Sumner, who needed an opportunity, was going to need an opportunity to figure out get his way in the rotation, like needed something to happen to take advantage of. And this would have been a great opportunity for him to kind of showcase himself, and he won't be able to do it. And it really sucks.
It's a huge bummer for him. And man, yeah, this was the opportunity he needed. We talked about how he's always going to be one injury away from hopping in the rotation this year. And he got two. He got Warren and LeVert. He could have.
Well, and he would have got even a full training camp to like really prove himself, right?
Yeah. So
like show, right. And, you know, instead of being like, playing on the second unit or maybe even like just like the third unit guy sitting out watching, he would have really got a chance to play with the starters and prove himself and show all that athleticism. And it just sucks.
Can I provide a tiny bit of Edmund Sumner good news?
Sure.
It's not necessarily basketball or injury related. In fact, it's not at all, but it's still good news. He tweeted this out today, a screenshot that he got his reactivation request approved for Xavier. So he's going to take his year off of basketball to finish his degree in college. That's pretty sweet.
Good. That's good.
Good use. Yeah, good for him. Good productive use of his time while he rehabs.
$1 million, get a college degree still, and be good. That's great. That's
yeah.
A good setup for life. I've
seen him in the practice facility 2 days in a row, walking around as gingerly as someone can with a giant boot on their leg and crutches. So hopefully he can come back. But yeah, it's a huge moment for him. I mean, he would have had a big opportunity to seize here. And this just the other thing I thought of today is when we talked about the Pacers' recent terrible injury history and like potential causes and how they got here. We talked about stacking being the problem, right? They've had a lot of injuries, but if they were all, you know, this guy here and then this guy here and then this guy here and they were all kind of separated, yeah, it'd be bad, but not as problematic. But they've had a lot of times over the last three seasons where they're missing like two or three key players at the same time. And this injury, again, just continues that trend. And that trend is kind of a snowballing trend because sometimes you get a guy who doesn't usually play a lot, playing more minutes, that puts more impact and stress on their body or their conditioning level, whatever it happens to be. So it just changes a lot when those injuries stack. And that's what's happening here. They go from, you know, they're already down to three starters, depending on if LeVert can go and the regular season opens. It's just another instance of this stacking stuff happening. And that's what's really hurt the Pacers. So they'll definitely be hoping LeVert can play on opening night.
Yeah. I mean, we hit on this, I forget what podcast it was now, but like how the Pacers just, because they take a chance on certain players because they have to because of their market size and need to kind of find value, they end up signing players or trading for players who are more injury prone. At least it seems that way, right? Like Brogdon, you know, had a weird injury history where it's certainly concerning when they traded for him in the first place. Warren's had one like that, so on. So it's just like it's just all part of kind of being a Pacers fan. Unfortunately, it's kind of a bummer, but like it's just kind of like it's part of being one.
People were debating on Twitter today what the curse came from, right? From what was Vic's injury? January 2018?
Yeah, but I mean, go back. PG's injury is a curse. Granger's injury is a curse. I mean,
Peyton Manning's.
Peyton Manning's too. I think about that. I mean, Andrew Luck. I mean, it really goes back to like, basically since the brawl, this team has all its luck was up until that moment and then it all faded.
It's just been brutal. So hopefully they can get LeVert back as soon as possible so the stacking doesn't have to be as big of an issue because Sumner wasn't going to be in the rotation. So that's not really a part of the stack to me, but Warren and LeVert absolutely is. And if he misses, let's just say like 3 to 5 games, given what we know right now, let's hope Lamb can either step up and be, you know, closer to the guy he was in 2019-20, or that, you know, some of the bench guys, Duarte, Craig, can be really solid so that 2 and 3 rotation doesn't totally get them sunk really early in the season. And again, their early season schedule is really hard. So these injuries being right now is just very ill timing.
Yeah. And they're one more injury away from being like, and now I have to sign some 10-day guy to be able to fill their
roster, they can't even sign 10 days yet.
Yeah. Well, I mean, they will have to, I mean, they can't event, right? When can they officially?
Like February.
Oh, so what do they
after
do?
After the cut down date, January, excuse me.
Oh, so what do they do if they have two? I guess they just elevate someone from the G League or the two-way guys, right?
That's kind of just play someone more. from.
Yeah, but like if they go down, like let's say a McConnell, right? They just don't like Keelan Martin, I guess.
Cut Keelan and keep Kiefer or keep Nate Hinton or something.
And then they could bring the Tua guys up, right? Both of them and just
play. Yeah, they could convert DeJean to a roster spot or something. Well, there are ways to get
play them. Can they just play them anyways?
What?
Can they just play the two-way guys for a certain amount of games anyways?
Yeah, they can do that.
Yes. They could just plan for their allotted max until they run out of basically usable time.
Yeah, but you know, why do that when you could just promote them at that point? I mean, the tax is the reason. But
yeah, the tax.
You don't want to be a big jerk to those guys and just say, now you're going to play a bunch and then screw you. We're going to waive you.
Yeah, but like why the Pacers not made any, like, you know, the reason they haven't signed like a full, what is not mid-level, but like a full minimum guy basically it's because of the tax. So like that's also the whole
the tax thing. is the big cloudy. Yeah, they wouldn't sign anyone discussion. Anyway. They have enough depth anyway. That's not a big deal.
Yeah, I don't know, Tony. They miss if like Brogdon McConnell goes out, they're Keelan Martin, step on up. That's
that would definitely concerning. Be left. Yeah, if they lose Brogdon or McConnell, I don't think Keelan Martin makes the team. I think that they would keep Kiefer instead.
Well, because right, LeVert was like the emergency point guard, I always felt like.
Yeah, I did too. I always thought that too.
So yeah, now it's like Justin Holiday, be a backup point guard. Have fun.
Yeah, you know, picture a person standing next to one of those like break glass in case of emergency signs. They haven't broken the glass yet, but they're holding that little hammer that they
can. Yeah, he's being ready to be told.
He's getting ready to smash the glass, but he's not quite there yet. So I don't have anything else on the injury. You know, we've kind of shared the important highlights from Carlisle and LeVert. Basically, the second opinion's coming. Doesn't sound too bad. I saw LeVert moving around myself. We will see. Fortunately, they don't play a game for 3 weeks. But there are other stuff from camp. There wasn't like any news, really. Duarte said his first practice went well, and he was shooting extremely well. I got to see him ring the bell, which was the coolest part of practice. They have this like really loud bell on the wall now, and they do this thing where if you've ever done a shooting drill in your life, they do. It's around the world. You take 5 threes from both slots, the top of the key, and the corners. If you make more than 20 or more, you get to go ring this bell, and they love it. And Duarte hit 22 and got to ring the bell. He was psyched about that. Keelan Martin had 19, and he shot his last one, and it rimmed out, but he thought he made it. So he sprinted like halfway across the gym towards the bell, and then it didn't go
in. Did they bring the bell after Durant left? Because otherwise, he would just get it every time.
He would be ringing it every time. Yeah, seriously. I forget where the data study I read was, but it's basically like 80 to 85% shooters in practice from three are like game viable or like good game shooters.
Yeah, I mean the going like theory is that if you're an NBA player, you should like an NBA shooter, you should be able to hit a wide open jump shot like consistently over and over again, right? Like the problem with it with NBA players is when you're contested that it becomes a lot harder. But I think the big thing is like if you watch J.R. Smith in practice, he like couldn't miss. Like and that's why he was such a good shooter in the league, even contested. You know, he would sometimes shoot 6 of 21 all contested. He could just wide open, the dude keep hitting and hitting and hitting shots.
Yeah, it's pretty insane how good these guys are at shooting. Even Nate Hinton, who is a second year player who played on a 2-way contract with the Mavs, he got to ring the bell. Like he was shooting even well in practice today. So the bell was cool. Rick wouldn't go into specifics on what these were for because it's a strategy thing. But on all four courts they have in their or all four baskets they have on their practice court, they had these little taped squares. Behind the 3-point line, one at the top of the key, two in the corners, and then again, free throw line, extended slot, whatever you want to call it. He said it was for spacing purposes. So it seems like, just going off that, they're focusing on getting spread out and having spacing on offense, which music to Pacers fans' ears who have been harping on that drum for years. Although we saw with Bjorkgren, sometimes that emphasis isn't going to lead to anything necessarily. But it was cool to see how he runs his practice and how everything was going in that way, too.
He's not doing the thing. Was it Minnesota and Ryan Saunders, who he would put like tape on the court for like spots where they were.
They were taped. But I think Ryan Saunders had the X's. Yes.
Right. For like this is a low percentage shot. Take this. We want to shoot this percentage from this spot kind of thing.
I think that I might be saying this wrong. So if I am, I'm sorry. But I think the way it worked in Minnesota for Saunders was if you hit like a mid-range shot in your runs, it was worth zero. And if you missed it, it was minus one. And that's how they kept score to prevent you from shooting those.
Interesting.
He could be
using that for Turner. I know Turner's better at it last year, but he could still use a little help.
Sabonis, too. Sabonis loves the top of the key long, too.
That's true.
So, yeah, that was the actual stratagem and interesting camp notes. The story of day one was, it's always going to be good vibes outside of injuries on day one. But, building that chemistry, working on defense, getting the shots up. And it was cool to be back in the building. It's cool to see all the Pacers back together. And a personal observation, unrelated to any interview, any shot I saw go up, anyone I talked to, Torrey Craig is tall. Torrey Craig is way taller than I thought he was just from looking at him. So that is my last note from practice.
Was it good to be back in the Gainbridge Fieldhouse?
We're not in Gainbridge. We're in the St. Vincent Center where they practice.
Ah, dang, that joke landed real
I'm flat. Sorry. It was good. The Gainbridge doesn't open for another couple of days for some concerts. So.
I wonder how long St. Vincent's has that naming rights for.
There's some hospital offices in the building.
It might be like an actual building they own. They just put the person in the bottom of it.
I don't know exactly how that works. I don't want to get into that. Yeah, Torrey Craig's like,
it doesn't matter at all.
It's hard to explain. Like, he's obviously 6'7", but he's like huge. It's hard to explain. But he was also the closest player to me. So maybe a little bit of bias there. So yeah, it's cool to see practice. They're off and running. Hopefully every practice isn't met with ginormous news like this. The first practice of the season is never where you want to hear that. But
hopefully it's quieter going forward.
Yeah, hopefully so. They have a game in 6 days. They have a preseason game next Tuesday. So lots to get to. We'll continue our season preview stuff this week. What we were going to do was position previews. So guards, forwards, bigs. We don't have enough shows for that now because we only have 4 episodes till they play the Knicks. So we're going to change it to backcourt and frontcourt. So tomorrow's show, we'll preview the backcourt players, coming up with one storyline each for each of them to watch. And we'll do the same thing Friday for the frontcourt guys. And then next week, we're off and running. So hopefully, knock on wood, the Locked On Injuries podcast can go back to focusing on the Pacers for the next 4 shows before they actually play a game.
Yeah.
Did you actually knock on anything? I didn't hear anything through my laptop.
No, I did not knock on anything.
Wow.
I just I'm not really into the superstition stuff.
I know who to blame.
I just hope we always have a plan and then it seems to change like very quickly. Like almost our plan shows almost never work. So
I'm glad you don't roast me for this, but Adam could probably test right now. Like I plan the shows way too far in advance topic wise. And then I always just have to change it when something like this happens.
It's hard in the offseason, right? When the regular season is pretty easy because even if something does happen, it's like, well, it still was a game and there wasn't a game. So like you can work in whatever happens to the game preview or the game post game. But in the offseason, you're kind of just like throwing stuff against the wall sometimes.
Our sheet is massively edited all the time, but thank you guys a ton for listening. If you hate listening because it sucks that LeVert's hurt, but you need more info, still thank you for tuning in. I hope you got everything you needed. If you need more on this, I'll have a piece up at some point today, tomorrow, about the LeVert injury, who's going to be more involved with this team. And if you need more info from me directly, I'm on Twitter at TEastNBA. Adam is on Twitter at Friedman5. This podcast is on Twitter at Locked On Pacers. We hope you were your first listen today of podcast. Please come back tomorrow to hear us talk about backcourt players. Until then, we'll see you.